Shalom Aleichem. Yesterday in Mishnah Yomi Land, we talked about some cases where Beit Shammai is more lenient by marriage and divorce. Now we're picking up in Chapter 4 of Eduyot, Mishnayot 8 and 9, with something related to marriage, Yibum. So this first Mishnah will sound very famous from the first chapter of Yevamot. Beit Shammai matirin et tzarot le'achin. Beit Shammai allows the co-wife to marry one of the other brothers. Beit Hillel forbids. Now, to explain what's going on here, Yibum is famously what happens if a man passes away, leaving a widow but no children. There is now a mitzvah on his surviving brothers to marry his widow and have a child that will carry his Yerusha and carry his name amongst Am Yisrael. That's, of course, if everyone wants to. If they don't want to, there's a ceremony called Chalitza that then allows the widow to marry someone outside the family. Now, the case here is when one brother had two wives, and one of his wives was an erva to the surviving brother. For example, he might have married his niece. So when these two widows come to the surviving brother for Yibum, well, one of them is an erva that he can't marry, but the other one has no family relationship with the surviving brother. And according to Beit Shammai, he could marry her in Yibum if they both want to. But Beit Hillel says absolutely not. She was the co-wife of an erva. An erva can't be married in Yibum, and so too any co-wife of an erva. So it comes out that according to Beit Shammai, if they don't want to marry in Yibum, then she would need a chalitza, the co-wife, and according to Beit Hillel, she wouldn't need anything to remarry because she was never eligible for Yibum or chalitza in the first place. As the Mishnah goes on, chaltzu, if this co-wife of the erva actually received chalitza from the surviving brother, so she can go remarry someone else. Beit Shammai poslein min kohuna. Beit Shammai says she cannot marry a kohen. Chalitza is rabbinically akin to gerushin, to divorce, and a kohen may not marry a divorcee, and rabbinically cannot marry a woman who received a chalitza either. So he says this is a valid, legally binding chalitza. Beit Hillel mechshirin. Beit Hillel says she could go marry a kohen after receiving such a chalitza because this was a meaningless and unnecessary chalitza, because in any event, she was never in the category of being eligible for Yibum or Chalitza from the surviving brother. The Mishnah notes the reverse also, Nit Yabmu, if one of the co-wives of an erva was actually married by the brother in Yibum, and then that brother passed away, Beit Shammai Machshirin. Beit Shammai says she could go ahead and marry a Kohen because she was in a normal Yibum marriage. Beit Hillel Poslein. Beit Hillel says she cannot marry a Kohen because her Yibum marriage was not allowed. It was an Isser Lav. She was not supposed to do it. Now, this creates a deep rift where, according to Beit Shammai, some women can marry a Kohen, and according to Beit Hillel, those women cannot, and vice versa. But the Mishnah explains something truly amazing, truly shows you the achdus, the unity of Am Yisrael, the af al pi. The Mishnah says, even though, she'elu poslin elu machshirin, that Beit Shammai would forbid certain women from later marrying into as a Kohen, and Beit Hillel would allow, and vice versa, lo nimna'u, they did not refrain. Beit Shammai, Melisa, Noshim, and Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai would go ahead and marry women that came from Beit Hillel. For lo Beit Hillel, Melisa, Noshim, and Beit Shammai. And a student from Beit Hillel would marry a woman who grew up in a Beit Shammai household. And the Mefarshim point out, this isn't because they ignored their halachic stringencies. It's because they were very forthcoming and transparent about the status of everything. They were keeping very good track, and they knew not only the halachot that they held by, the stringencies that their own side held by, but they understood and acknowledged the stringencies that the other school of thought held by. So because they were sensitive to the other side's halachic needs and stringencies, they could set up situations where there'd be no problems according to either of them and make beautiful shidduchim and grow Am Yisrael and Klal Yisrael. So it's a beautiful thing that even when Jews disagree, deep disagreement, they can come together and build families. The Mishnah adds, v'kola taharut, and everything that was considered pure, v'tumot, or considered impure, shahayu elu mitarin v'elu mitamin, where one side said, this is still pure, the other side says, no, it's contaminated. You know, there are many, many disagreements between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel about when things can become contaminated. We've seen some already. Lo nimna liot osim taharut elu al gav elu. So they didn't refrain from preparing tahor food together. Again, not because they were ignoring their side's stringencies and rulings, but because they were very sensitive and aware of the halachic requirements that the other side had to live by, and they could go ahead and share kalim, because if there was going to be an issue, they say, yeah, that kli actually became contaminated according to your school of thought, but not according to mine, so let's put it in the mikveh first, or let's use something else. So that way they could participate in daily life together and build families together, even though there were fundamental differences in their halachic positions. Now let's go on to Mishnah 9, also about Yibam. Shlosha Achim. There were three brothers to begin with. Shnayim mehem nisun l'shtei achayot. The first two brothers were married to two sisters, and the third brother was unmarried. Met echad mibalei achayot. One of the married brothers passed away. V'asa b'mufne ma'amar. And the third brother, who doesn't have a wife yet, he performed ma'amar. Now we discussed in detail in Yevamot, ma'amar is the first stage of Yibam, but it's not a yibum. It's a rabbinical giving a ring ceremony. It's basically he's giving her the ring saying, we're going to go ahead and do a yibum soon. But before the yibum actually took place, v'achar kach, after the ma'amar, met achiv hasheni. The second brother, who remembers married to the second sister, he passed away. Now all of them passed away without children. So Beit Shammai omrim ishto imo. Beit Shammai says the third brother, who's performed ma'amar, he's given a ring to the first widow, his wife is with him. They can go through with the full marriage in Yibam Mazel Tov. The halal and the second sister, Taitse Mishim Achot Isha, she can go free and marry somebody else because she's the sister of his wife through Mamar. So she doesn't need a chalitza. She can't have a Yibam because she's the sister of his Yibam eligible wife. So she can go marry someone else. Beit Hillel, Omri Beit Hillel is Machmer. They say Motzi et Ishto. The third brother has to divorce the wife he got through Mamar, beget the chalitza. He has to give her a get to dissolve the Mamar, and a chalitza to dissolve the bond of Yibum that had not yet taken place. Vet Eshet Achiv, and the widow of the second brother, bechalitza. She must receive a chalitza. Now the distinction here is, according to Beit Hillel, the Ma'amar marriage is sort of a rabbinical formality. It's not strong enough to knock out the zika, the bond that is formed when the second brother passes away, leaving a widow eligible for Yibam. So now there are, technically according to Beit Hillel, there are two widows equally eligible for Yibam, but they are sisters. So Yibam may not be performed with either of them. They both need a chalitza, and in addition, a get to undo the Ma'amar. And Beit Hillel adds, Zohi Sha'amru, this is the case where they said, Oi lo al ishto, woe to him for the wife he wanted to marry, had already given her a ring, Oi lo al eshet achiv, and woe to him because he also can't perform yibam or marry the wife of the second brother. For further details, see our shir in Yevamot chapter 3, Mishnah 5. Yashar kochachem, tizku le mitzvot.